Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, with the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon, if you need a playbook, Noble Gold says allocate gold now and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects. And right now, get a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin when you open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments today. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Senator Josh Hawley joins us. We talk dinks, Loudermilk, Congressman Loudermilk, and more. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And come to AmFest, amfest.com. AmericaFest is the largest multi-day conservative event in the movement, amfest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, everybody, with us is Senator Josh Hawley. Let's play cut 74. It's perfect. Play cut 74.
Director, this is one of the most outrageous targetings. You have mobilized your division, the most powerful law enforcement division in the world, against traditionalist Catholics, whatever the heck that means. Here, it gets worse. Your Richmond field office, they thought there was nothing wrong with this. The House interviewed the head of the Richmond field office. In fact, we have internal memoranda of the members of the field office high-fiving. One peer reviewer, another member of the field office, wrote, "I think this is a great product. I really enjoyed the read." What are you going to do about this? Are you going to fire these people or not?
Those individuals have all been admonished, and it is all going into their, if you would let me finish my answer, it is all going into their annual performance reviews, which has direct impact on their compensation, among other things.
Oh, that is just a bunch of crap. Joining us now is Senator Josh Hawley, who's doing a great job from the state of Missouri. Senator, thank you for having the courage to confront Christopher Wray. Walk us through that and the disappointing hearing of having him in front of the Senate.
Well, you know, thanks for having me on first, Charlie. It's always great to be with you. I'll just say this. I bet every Christian out there feels a lot better now knowing that FBI HR is involved and that these people who are trying to put spies into our churches. You know, by the way, if they're doing it in traditional Catholic churches, they're doing it at evangelical churches. They're doing it everywhere. And what are they going to get because of it? What are they going to suffer? Oh, they're going to get a note in their file. I mean, you cannot make this up, Charlie. You talk about giving the middle finger to the American people, which is just what Christopher Wray did. I mean, that is the finger to people of faith in this country. It is, we don't care. Yeah, you caught us trying to spy on you. We don't care. We're just going to keep right on doing it. And the only thing I know to do is to drag this stuff that these guys want to keep behind closed doors. They want to do it in the shadows, drag it into the light and expose it for the incredible abuse of power that it is.
Yeah. And so Christopher Wray's on this new shtick right now, Senator, where he's talking about there's red alerts blinking all over the country. We've never seen more terror threats. And, you know, there might be some truth in some of that, but hold on a second. We have a wide open southern border, a wide open southern border. And what I find to be so sick and perverted about this is that you have an FBI DHS kind of cabal that keeps the border open. And then they have the gumption to complain to Congress that there's all these security threats. So you allow it to happen. And then you tell Congress, well, you know, we're looking at all these blinking lights all over the place. Senator, your reaction?
Well, and the reason why there are all of these terror warnings of why we're at increased risk is because the border is open and anybody can walk across it. I mean, let's not forget this last year, we had the highest number, the biggest number of people on the terrorist watch list apprehended at the border ever. Now, those are the people that we caught. Just think about the number that got away. And you're exactly right. I mean, what is DHS is doing nothing about this, as we know. Absolutely zilch zero. They love the border open. They're rolling out the red carpet. Come on in. Bring the drugs. Bring the crime. Come on in. But what's Christopher Wray doing about it? Nothing. In fact, what he's doing with his time is targeting Catholics, targeting people of faith, sending SWAT teams to the homes of pro-life demonstrators. That's what he's doing with his time. Oh, and by the way, flying on the FBI's private jet back and forth to his various homes all across the country at taxpayer expense. That's what he's doing with his time.
So he's playing into this whole thing about blinking lights. I think it's I have a theory about the narrative here. Let's play cut 58. I think it's all about Section 702. I think Christopher Wray is trying to increase the fear. He's trying to say to senators, well, look, there's just so much stuff here, and therefore give me a 12-year carte blanche renewal of a program that has been so abused against political dissidents. Play cut 58.
So what I would say that is unique about the environment that we're in right now in my career is that while there may have been times over the years where individual threats could have been higher here or there than where they might be right now, I've never seen a time where all the threats, or so many of the threats, are all elevated all at exactly the same time. That's what makes this environment that we're in now so fraught.
So blinking red lights analogy about 9/11, all the lights were blinking red before 9/11. Apparently, obviously, all of us missed it. Would you say that there's multiple blinking red lights out there?
I see blinking lights everywhere I turn.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Let's not rewrite history. 9/11 was partially an intel failure, but it was an immigration failure, Senator. We allowed these people into our country. And if Christopher Wray is alluding that there are similar prerequisite chattering, then we have a wide open border and we have no idea who the hell is coming into our nation. Talk about 702. I'm starting to finally see some pushback of Republicans that want massive reforms. Talk about 702, Senator.
There's got to be huge reforms. This is the surveillance apparatus that we, I think, unwisely gave to the FBI and other agencies after 9/11. The rationale was, well, we got to give these people all new power to listen in on, as it turns out, our conversations. Now, that's not what they're supposed to do. It's supposed to be just for foreigners. But we all know, we've seen the reports over years now, the FBI abuses this all the time. They use this authority to not get a warrant, not go to a court, but yet to track Americans and to listen in on Americans. And for my part, the idea that we would just reauthorize this program with no reforms is insane. It's absolutely insane. But Charlie, I can tell you, as we sit here and talk, they are trying to get a reauthorization of FISA jammed into the annual defense bill and sneaked through Congress right now. That is their plan. And I think it's crazy. We've got to stop this.
The Speaker Johnson, to his credit, decided not to do that. Senator Tom Tillis and others are saying, oh, we'll see. You know, they're going to get, it's like a lot of threats going on here. And so, Senator, I want to just emphasize this, that you and I are both okay, obviously, with the government going after terrorists. But why can't they get a warrant under most circumstances, especially in those gray areas? And by the way, based on all of the watchdog reports, 90% of this stuff is in gray area, meaning it's an American citizen and they're communicating with someone that might be connected with someone that could be. And yet the stuff that is clear as day, you and I have no problem with. But there's these abuses, and it's abuse of the January 6th defendants. They spied on Tucker Carlson with this. They spied on Donald Trump. When you say this, and by the way, I talked to a lawmaker this weekend and their eyes get really big. I said, why can't you get a warrant? It's as if I'm asking them to like apply for citizenship. I don't understand the argument.
Yeah, here's the thing. If the FBI or whomever wants to go listen in to the conversations of foreign nationals who are suspected terrorists, fine. You know, foreign nationals don't get the protection
That's
of our
right.
Constitution.
Exactly.
So fine. That's
yes.
You know, it's totally fine. No problem. Now, if they want to then turn around and say, ah, an American citizen has having a conversation with someone overseas or a foreign national, and therefore I am going to start tracking the American citizen, we have a big problem. The Constitution absolutely applies to American citizens. That's why we have the Constitution. The Bill of Rights applies. So this idea that you can just go around the warrant requirement, that you can just go around the normal court system, because let's remember this FISA process, it's a whole separate court, Charlie, as you know, it's a secret court. If you get targeted in the court, this is what happened to Donald Trump. If you get targeted in that court, you don't get a lawyer. You don't get to appear. You don't get to defend yourself. The government just says, yeah, okay, goodness for us. Go ahead. Listen, go ahead. Wiretap. You don't go through the normal requirements. That has got to be changed. And why we would just automatically reauthorize all of this stuff and cross our fingers and hope for better next time is beyond, it's crazy.
Last question. Crazy. Senator, you went to Yale, you went to Stanford. I want just a minute comment on the anti-Semitism and the Jew hatred that we've seen out of these universities in recent years, in recent days.
Yep. Yeah, pointing out those affiliations is the nastiest things you've said
I'm
to me
sorry.
Yet, Charlie.
I got my past there. It's on your Wikipedia page. I'm going to hurt your reelection.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, listen, I mean, all joking aside, it's heinous. It is a sign, once again, that these universities have failed this country and failed these students. They clearly do not teach them right from wrong. The idea that the state of Israel would be treated as a terrorist state, that it would be okay to assault Jewish Americans on campus, that you can chant these slogans, these pro-Hamas slogans that are basically pro-genocide slogans. And these universities come up there, these presidents, and say, oh, well, you know, I mean, it's hard to distinguish. I mean, it's just a matter of taste. This is insane stuff. It's totally insane. Meanwhile, these are the same people who can't get enough taxpayer money for their DEI agenda, who can't get enough money to promote intersectionality. And yet they're fine with rhetoric about the slaughter of Jews. It is absolutely sickening.
Senator Hawley, I'm sorry for mentioning your past. I really apologize. But you're doing an amazing job representing Missouri. You're a hero. You're doing a great job. Senator, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
The world is in flames and Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster. But it won't ruin my day. That's because I start my day with a hot America First cup of blackout coffee. Now, I've been trying to trim how much coffee I have, but when I have coffee, it's blackout coffee. This coffee is 100% America and 0% grift. Blackout coffee is 100% committed to conservative values, from sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping. They embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. By the way, I was traveling recently, and somebody brought me a cup of coffee, and it tasted really bad. It was really bad. I said, where's my blackout? And they said, we didn't bring the blackout on this trip. And I was really disappointed. It was a tough day. When you get used to blackout coffee, you know what I mean. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Use coupon code Charlie for 20% off your first order. By the way, it's kind of coffee season, isn't it? It gets dark around like 3:30. It's cloudy. It's not exactly the most uplifting weather. You kind of need to pick me up sometimes around 2 p.m. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Be awake, not woke. That is blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Promo code Charlie. The taste is amazing. It is smooth. And people know that I need my cup of coffee in the morning. Not too much, not over the top. But if it's not blackout, then the mood is not so good. Go south. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Great company. Blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Promo code Charlie.
We're dinks. We go to Trader Joe's and workout classes on the weekends.
We're dinks. We get into snobby hobbies like skiing and golfing.
We're dinks. We can go to Florida on a whim.
We're dinks. We're already planning our European vacation next year.
Dinks, we get a full 8 hours of sleep, and sometimes more.
We're dinks, we get desserts and appetizers at restaurants.
We're dinks, we can play with other kids and give them back.
We're dinks, we still do it 3 times a week.
We're dinks, we spend our discretionary income on $8 lattes.
We're dinks, we max out our 401ks, Roth IRAs, and HSAs.
We're dinks, we don't use our kids or dog as an excuse to leave a party. We just leave.
Okay, so this is on TikTok, and so a dink is a dual income, no kids. And basically what it is it's very mentally troubled people that go to social media and try to brag about their broken life. And social media basically has become that, which is you try to dress up your very difficult life. And they're bragging about not having children. So I guess this is some sort of a couple. Are we supposed to be jealous of them? We're supposed to be jealous of them and they're walking through the park? So we're dinks. We're going to die alone. We're dinks, and I'll have a very well-funded Roth IRA on my deathbed. It's a massive cope. And the easy thing is, well, let's feel really sad for them. Actually, I mean, yeah, I think there is some sadness that we should feel. But these people are sick. We should ridicule them. Enough sadness. They're going on social media bragging about one of the most selfish, narcissistic, inward-facing things. Period. They're proud to feel useless. Now, let me be very clear. I want to be very, very clear. It's different than people that have labored trying not to have children. There's an amazing verse in the scriptures. I think it's in Amos or Hosea, where it says God has a special heart for the childless. It's a very, very beautiful scripture. That if it's your heart to have children and that's not part of your plan, that's a completely different thing. But also, you know how sick this is? It's also unbelievably insulting to people that are trying to have kids, which infertility is a major issue in our country for a lot of different reasons, declining testosterone rates, the food that we have, people waiting too long to have kids. No, that's not the verse. I'll find it. There's a verse in one of the prophets where it says God has a special heart for those people that don't have kids. It's really, really special. But that's not what this is. This is the celebration of the lifestyle and elevating it above doing something deep, doing something difficult. Having a father being a father changes you, and having a father changes you. But being a father changes you 100%. It changes everything about you. And it's getting started, it's the most fulfilling thing somebody can do. I think that's it. Isaiah, I'll have to look. I don't want to, I'm getting a lot of verses sent to me. I think it might be Isaiah, but then there's this really beautiful verse that says that. But think about how sick you must be to go to TikTok and say, we're a dink and we go to Trader Joe's. Yeah, you're lonely. You're a lonely person. You know what's so amazing? Is that they mention in the video that they like being around kids and we have to give them back. That's really sad. So you don't want to take the responsibility. You want to sleep 8 hours a night? Well, you're going to live a really shallow life. You're a narcissist. And by the way, that is the inevitable outcome of liberalism. Me, my body, my choice. Me, 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 me. That's a really sad way to live. Here's another dink video, play cut 79.
Why is nobody talking about being dinks? Well, I'm freshly married and I'm going to talk about it. Here's our life as dinks in our early 30s. No shocker here, folks. Today we went to Costco. We don't have kids to feed, but we got lots of money to spend on goodies. Brian always checks out while I get a box and then I sit here and look cute. Here's the haul, and our total was $252. The register game at Costco never gets old. You cannot tell me that grocery shopping and a fresh slice of Costco pizza isn't a good date night. I mean, you can tell me that, but I don't believe it. Obviously, we had car cookies for dessert, and yeah, I will probably just make this a series now, so follow along for more dink content.
More dink content? This is secularism. When I talk about a post-Christian, post-Judeo-Christian society, this is what you get. Not only are they not having children, but they go on social media bragging about it. By the way, you don't need to depopulate a country if you're young and you're fertile, decide not to have children. And some people say, well, you know, everyone can make their own choice. Of course they can make their own choice. These people should be humiliated. They should be challenged. Are you doing something deep with your time? I totally understand if you're barren. That's a separate issue. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the intentional celebration of not furthering your bloodline. That's a really empty existence. And our culture celebrates it. Oh, wow, well, you have an alt Roth IRA and you can go on vacations. You're missing something big, no matter how much you try to celebrate it. Hey, everybody. Our friends at Hillsdale College want to wish you a happy Christmas and healthy, prosperous New Year. Since Hillsdale's founding in 1844, it's taught its students by precept and example the teachings and practices of the Christian faith. The college continues this mission in its classrooms and nationwide through its educational outreach efforts. Hillsdale College is free to pursue learning, character, faith, and freedom, and all they do because supporters like you allow them to refuse every penny of taxpayer money, even indirectly in the form of federal grants and loans. So this Christmas season, my friends at Hillsdale want to thank you, dear listener, for your kindness towards the college. They prepared a special video featuring their sacred music choir singing O Little Town of Bethlehem in their beautiful Christ Chapel at the heart of campus. You could also take their online courses. They have courses about Winston Churchill, American history, Aristotle, Euclidean geometry. Also, the Victor Davis Hanson citizenship class is amazing. Go to charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com and hear the choir and view many other free resources to help you celebrate the season. I promise it will be uplifting and inspiring for you. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. Joining us now is Congressman Barry Loudermilk from Georgia's 11th District, also serves on the House Judiciary Committee. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us about your announcement in regards to the January 6th panel and Fannie Willis.
Thank you, Charlie. It's good to be on your show. Look, I was appointed to chair this special subcommittee looking into January 6th, what really happened, to bring transparency to it. And when the select committee handed over supposedly all the documents that they acquired during their fake investigation, they were very unorganized. It took us a long time to start going through it. But as we were going through it just a few weeks ago, we came across this letter from Fannie Willis, the Fulton County DA, asking for documents. And this letter was dated back in December of 2021. So it appears that there was collusion between the Fulton County DA and Benny Thompson's committee, that partisan committee put together by Pelosi, to acquire documents and information. So my interest in my committee on this is what documents, what information was shared. And we've already realized that there were documents that weren't preserved by the committee. There were documents that were sent to the White House and Homeland Security to keep Republicans from seeing them. And what documents do they have? Do I have those documents? So my good friend Jim Jordan met with him, since he's the chair of the Judiciary Committee and he has oversight over the DAs, and he had great interest in it as well. So we decided to team up on this investigation and see if we can get some clear answers.
So Congressman, this we need to put a pause right really quick. Remember the Bob Mueller team's phones when they all forgot their passwords and that was so fraudulent and it deleted all that data? Lois Lerner's missing emails, Hillary Clinton's destroyed emails, and now the January 6th committee's destroyed evidence. This is a pattern. By the way, that's just off the top of my head. This happens every 18 to 24 months of these criminals and these rascals that destroy everything. Is this criminal what they did?
Well, at least it's a violation of House rules. There's clear guidelines on what documents have to be preserved, and any document used in an official proceeding, this was an official proceeding, even though it was contrived to be very partisan. It was an official proceeding. And the chairman, Benny Thompson of Mississippi, in response to a letter I sent to him asking for documents that we realized were missing, basically responded and said we decided to not preserve some of those documents. Predominantly were the videotapes of the depositions and transcribed interviews they did of their witnesses. It's clear. House rules say if you do an interview or a deposition, it has to be videotaped and it has to be preserved. I specifically ask about those because those are very relevant. If you look at what we've uncovered now about Cassidy Hutchins, of how we found where she significantly changed the content of her previous transcribed interviews to match her public statement, it's important for us to go back and look at the videos of how did she answer the questions when she first was interviewed versus later. You got body language, you got voice inflection. So those things are important. Well, I ask about where are those videotapes? And the then chairman, Benny Thompson, said we just decided we weren't going to keep them.
Oh, just I bet my videotape is there. So you can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure mine's
well,
there.
Well, it's interesting. They have my text. They were able to subpoena Mark Meadows because he was in the House. He was a friend of mine, and I had even texted him on January 6th when the Capitol was, things were going on at the Capitol, telling him that things were bad here. They have my text, my personal text. They don't have a problem of making that public, and even my cell phone number they gave to media. But yet they're not going to keep the videotapes. And what's interesting, Charlie, is that we found more documents that we do not have. We start going through the documents we have and they reference other documents. In fact, we found a letter from Benny Thompson to the White House where in December of 2022, just literally a few days before Republicans took control of the House, he sent documents, House documents, to the White House for them to keep. We then found another letter from another source that he did the same thing to the Department of Homeland Security. So we've been working to get those documents returned. I finally got the White House to send those House documents back, but they redacted them. I mean, they're so heavily redacted, you can't really derive any information. So we're going back to them and demanding that these documents be returned. The only reason that I can come up with is that you send those documents elsewhere is because it contains information that you don't want the Republicans to see. See, it's okay for when Democrats are in control, they'd be available. But when we're in control, they didn't want us to be able to see what's inside those documents.
Okay, I want to play a piece of tape here. Cut 81. This connects with Fannie Willis. This was Newt Gingrich months ago breaking some news. I think that there's some fire here. We have some smoke. Play cut 81.
That I am told, this is hearsay, but I am told by a reliable source that Friday evening, somebody from Washington called the district attorney in Atlanta and said, you have to indict on Monday. We have to cover up all of the mistakes we just made with Weiss. And she said, apparently, my jurors aren't coming back till Tuesday. And they said, you didn't hear me. You have to indict on Monday. And she said, well, they're not going to get here before noon. They said, it doesn't matter. She said, this means it's going to be 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night. They said, it doesn't matter. We need the news
so
media shifting.
Who made that phone call?
We don't know. And I'm telling you up front, this is hearsay, but it's from a person who has remarkably good sources.
I totally believe it, though, because that would explain why they leaked and they messed up on the clerk document, why she was exhausted, and why they had the 11 p.m. press conference, Mr. Speaker. Congressman, what's going on?
That is a great question, and that's what we're trying to find out. It's interesting. Newt is a good friend of mine, and he called me around that time. And told me, he said, look, I think that there is something going on between Willis and the former select committee. And I had to tell him at that time that, you know, we hadn't uncovered anything at that point. But again, we've got 2 million printed pages of documents that were just handed to us in boxes. They didn't give us their database. There was no, table of contents index. We had about 2.5 terabytes of digital data. And 2 million printed copies. And our team is just going through it. And then sometime later, just a few weeks ago, we come across this letter. And but I can tell you what Newt called me about, he turned out to be right on.
So then what will your investigation look like as far as looking into Fannie Willis? Because we're now seeing this very suspicious schedule of trials for Donald Trump going into an election year. And I don't know if you'll be able to uncover this, but you might be able to get some crumbs that can lead to something. It seems as if there is a war room. It seems like there is a central operating hub where a lot of this lawfare is being coordinated.
Yeah, and you're right about the crumbs. It's somebody asked me the other day, have you found a smoking gun? I said, no, we haven't found a bazooka, but there's a lot of small 22 caliber shots being fired. And when you put those together, and then you get a picture of the entire war. And so we're going to continue. And this investigation, we're taking it from two fronts. Jim Jordan on the Judiciary Committee, he sent a letter to Ms. Willis asking her for what documents, more information. I, in my jurisdiction of Capitol Hill and the Select Committee, I've sent a letter to Benny basically asking the same questions. And so we're taking it from two fronts. My interest is what documents, where are those documents? Do we have copies of those documents? And I'm sure that Trump's team of lawyers is interested as well, because I'm not a lawyer, but from what I understand is when the prosecution has evidence, they have to provide copies of that evidence to the defense. And so I think from Trump's perspective, they want to know what documents were sent to the Willis team so they can compare to see if there's anything that they have not been given.
In closing here, Congressman, there's a fair amount of frustration in our audience. It seems like our majority is shrinking without any elections occurring. The expulsion of Santos, McCarthy resigning at the end of the month, which is awfully unusual. It seems as if that's his revenge. How are you processing this now with a seeming one seat majority?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult, Charlie. And, you know, we're just going to press on even harder and faster than we have. Fortunately, at least in McCarthy's case, with his resignation, we should fulfill that seat with another Republican. But there's going to be this time frame until California has their election, their special election, that we're going to be even a slimmer majority. And so that even makes this next election that much more important. But it also requires us to unify more as a party, as a conference. And so it also is an incentive to those of us who are doing the investigations. We're going to have to double down, because there is the chance. You know, all it takes is a plane wreck or a car crash or somebody to get hit by a bus or a stroke or something that takes one or two Republicans out of it. And we lose our majority.
That would be a tragedy. Well, stay healthy, Congressman, and have your colleagues as well. So, Congressman, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Charlie.
For years, we've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues. They teach things that directly contradict the values of millions of Americans. That's especially true if you are a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I'm pleased to announce our new partnership with the folks at the Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted source on American K-12 private education, with a remarkable suite of resources for parents and grandparents thinking about making the switch from public schools to a Christian education, and for those already in Christian schools too. From their online publication, The Lion, to their new podcast, Making the Leap, the Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your kids. To learn more about how your family, faith, and community can flourish through a quality Christian education, go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for you. Go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. They're the trusted source of American K-12 private education, and they also partner with us at Turning Point Academy. So check it out right now, HerzogFoundation.com. The war in higher education is continuing, and I am delighted to see it. It's one of the feel-good stories of 2023. It's a tragedy as to why it's happening, obviously. It took a 9/11 style attempt at Holocaust to get this civil war brewing. But I could not have guessed or predicted that in 2023 we would be having the nearly unanimous narrative from any respectable public intellectual saying that colleges have become a threat to our country. David Friedman, who was the American ambassador to Israel under Donald Trump, quote, "Today in the halls of Congress, the Ivy League died. The elitist emperors were on full display and they had no clothes. Let all these institutions, along with so many others, suffer the humiliation they deserve. Renounce everything that made them the fraudulent institution takers, fraudulent tuition takers that they become, and then perhaps, after a complete house cleaning, return to their former glory. The world is waiting." Now, David Friedman, I'll be honest, that's not going to happen. Once an institution is captured, liberating it is very difficult. Just look at how rare and how exceptional it is for Elon Musk to liberate Twitter. It's required $50 billion, relentless effort, and there's still infiltrators, landmines, all throughout Twitter that Elon Musk is trying to purge. And taking over Harvard and liberating it is very, very hard. Let me just play some pieces of tape here yesterday. By the way, this is making waves in upper middle class elite Jewish donor circles. The eyes of that community were on these college presidents yesterday. And I have been forwarded emails from very, very wealthy, very generous Jewish Turning Point USA donors, and they've been forwarding me emails of secular Jews using F this and F that, and I mean language, and I love it. They are waking up. They are done. They are divesting. They are insulted. The presidents of these universities are held hostage by three groups. The administration, they're held hostage by the students, and they're held hostage by the professors. And then on the other side, they have alumni and donors that tend to see the world far more more realistic, and they think it's insane that the president of Harvard is retreating to excuses when the genocide of Jews are called on campus. Now, we need to make sure this is clear, and Bill Ackman, to his great credit, has repented for this, that Bill Ackman acknowledges that some of his donations has also been funding anti-white hatred. It's not just anti-Semitism. It's anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-Jew, anti-America. It is a bundle package. You get it all at Harvard. Play cut 41, please.
Well, let me ask you this. Will admissions offers be rescinded or any disciplinary action be taken against students or applicants who say, from the river to the sea or intifada, advocating for the murder of Jews?
As I've said, that type of hateful, reckless, offensive speech is personally abhorrent to me.
And today that when no action will be taken, what action will be taken?
When speech crosses into conduct that violates our policies, including policies against bullying, harassment, or intimidation, we take action.
I want to do a tweet about Kyle Kashuv. Again, we're always running out of time. Kyle Kashuv, we did a lot of work together at Turning Point USA, a survivor of the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas. Amazing kid. He was going to Harvard. Unbelievably smart. NPR.org. Harvard rescinds offer to Parkland survivor after discovery of racist comments. He was 15 years old. He used the N-word a couple times in a chat, which, by the way, a lot of young people have, and that is not an unforgivable sin. Acting as if that is akin to rape or murder is disgusting. Kids do silly stuff. That is an easy thing to forgive. Easy. It doesn't mean anything for some 15-year-old to say that in a private chat, or 16-year-old. Oh, N-word this, N-word that. That says nothing about your morality. It says something about your maturity. It says nothing about your morality. Nothing. Yet Harvard rescinded Kyle Kashub's, he was a, by the way, a Jewish kid, and they rescind his offer. They rescind it, saying that it was callous and inflammatory language. So Harvard made a public spectacle out of revoking a shooting survivor Jewish kid's offer to Harvard because he used the N-word immaturely a couple times when he was 15 or 16 years old. And yet they defend the Muslim Arab Jew haters. I hope Harvard metaphorically burns to the ground, divests them, tax their endowment, and then once it is embers, we'll think about giving them mercy. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.